As we said last week, Twilight was coming out on Saturday at midnight or Friday at midnight, mm-hmm. whatever you want to say. And a couple of the stars came and they were visited the Walmart on Tatum and Bell, mm-hmm. Signing autographs, right? One of them was Eric Odom and the other one was Guri Weinberg. And they play Peter and Stefan. You know, there's a lot of new vampires.
I remember them,
right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I had a nice little chat with them. Very, very pleasant guys.
Oh, nice.
A lot of fun.
Oh, you,
yeah.
saw, you went down there?
I didn't go down there. I talked to them on the phone.
Oh, okay.
I was given the opportunity to meet them, and I really wanted to.
Past your curfew.
Yeah, past my curfew, yeah.
Because yeah. they were there at 11:30 p.m.
Yeah, they were there at wow. 11 o'clock, and I think they mm-hmm. had a whole hour of signing, and they had a little celebration for
oh,
Twilight,
nice.
And you figure all these people dressed up like Edward. And
yeah.
Oh, is that
Bella,
right?
Yeah.
Bella,
cool.
they had a little bruise on their arm, and they were stumbling around on crutches.
Yeah, falling
and
over.
Taylor, the
they
other
had a bunch
guy.
Of guys on their side.
Is that other guy? Taylor
Lautner, people without their
now,
shirts
what's his name?
On.
Yeah.
No, what's his name?
In the movie?
Jacob.
Jacob.
Yeah, Jacob.
Yeah.
And people got dressed up because they worked yeah. out a lot. They had a lot of muscle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had syringes sticking out of them.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So where were we?
So, yes, Peter and Stefan, their characters. And, you know, so let's start. We're going to go off and on. Eric Tagiri. Mm-hmm. First of all, let's talk to Eric about his character and who he plays. Yeah. Again, that's Peter.
You know, I went back and I read his portions in Eclipse when Jasper was describing his backstory, and then obviously read all of Breaking Dawn, and then also went to Stephanie's unpublished book that she was working on, Midnight Sun, that's from Edward's perspective, because Peter and Charlotte play a major role in that, and just kind of pulled all of that in, along with integrating certain parts of me. You know, I found there was a lot of overlap between Peter and myself. You know, I'm from the South. I'm from Virginia originally, and he's a Southern nomad from the Southern Vampire Wars. And then also, you know, I was a military kid, so I moved around a lot when I was younger, and Peter's a nomad. So, you know, we both kind of had this nomadic lifestyle. So I found there are a lot of similarities that I was able to integrate from my own life into the character.
Did you know about Midnight Sun, her unpublished book?
No. Is it going to be published?
Well, the thing is, several years ago, I guess it was leaked online.
Oh.
As she was still writing it, I think there was like 12 chapters that were leaked online without her permission.
Is it
permission.
A fifth segment?
It's,
installment?
It is the events from the original Twilight, from the first one, from Edward's perspective.
Oh.
So instead of from Bella's perspective, it was from Edward's perspective. So I don't know. I didn't read it. This is the first I heard about it.
You think they'll make a movie?
I don't think so.
No?
I mean, well, because they look older and everything now. So.
Then I could play Edward.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, right?
Yeah.
Could I?
They look that much older.
Bella, the warm milk. The more milk, Bella. Right? You think so?
No.
Oh.
Sorry.
All right.
It's not going to happen. You can play one of the wolves. You won't need to get into the costume.
Oh,
yeah. So.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, so I don't know. She keeps saying that she wants to continue to write this, but it was really painful when yeah. someone leaked this online, and that she said that they didn't mean it, but,
how
you know, it was kind of like an accident
how
or
they
something.
Get a hold
probably
of
the writer of The Hunger Games.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, but, I like that movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was good. Yes.
Jennifer Lawrence, I really think she's a great actress.
Yeah, she's okay. She's pretty
what
good.
What did I tell you about these random and
oh yeah,
I know. Right. Yeah, I like the way you worded that too.
Dave's random enlightenments.
Yeah.
We were planning.
That could be a new
shows.
Show. Random enlightenment.
Yeah.
That was
just today's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she might continue to write it. You know, mm-hmm. it's a lot for a
sure,
writer
sure.
to you know take when someone spoils something. For
yeah,
everyone.
No doubt.
So now let's go to Guri Weinberg and ask him about his character. And again, that is Stefan.
Stefan, you know, in the book. It says how the Romanians are, you know, used to rule the vampire world, and they lost everything to the Volturi. They lost their families, you know. And so everybody understands what it's like to have things that mean a lot to you taken away from you and what revenge or wanting to get a payback is like. So for us, it was pretty easy. It was really straightforward. And for the Romanians, it was more about understanding what life was 3,000 years ago when they were turned to become a vampire. So we have to learn a Romanian dialect, more ancient Romanian dialect, instead of the you know, today's Romanian dialect, and those were really the things that we concentrated on the most.
But, you know, Dave, I'm sure that you're saying, that's all well and good. Yeah, I remember those guys. But what about the rest of the cast? You want the dirt on the rest of the cast, right?
No.
No?
Okay. You do?
But real quick, before we do that, it took me a second, because I looked these guys up, and I know Guri Weinberg was also in Don't Mess with the Zohan, you know, and whatnot.
That was a pretty funny movie.
I was trying to think of, who are Peter and Stefan, and now when he said Romanian, and
I remember that.
Now I remember back and remember when both of them came into
the
movie.
I think at the end they started chasing the guys. They wanted the fight to continue.
Romanian show, that was him.
See, it took me a second when I was looking around, like, but who were Peter and Stefan?
No, they were cool. They were
now
sort of
I remember.
Cool.
Yeah. They were, So
yeah, I like them. Yeah, they're... But, yeah, they didn't get over whatever happened to them.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they were mad.
Exactly. So, but, you know, I don't mean this in a bad way, but we want to know about the rest of the cast, you know,
sure,
how they integrated. And we asked.
Oh, that's what you mean.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We want the dirt on you know, how did Kristen Stewart treat them, you know, right?
Yeah.
Was she welcoming?
And was there any continued friction with Edward and herself, the real guy? Though,
this was shot way before that happened.
Well, maybe she's intuitive.
Yeah,
like one of the other characters, right?
Yeah.
Well, so let's talk to Eric about his integration with the cast when he first joined the cast.
It was interesting because I was nervous going in. I didn't know how all these new vampires were going to integrate with the pre-existing cast members.
Mm.
And, you know, because they've been doing it for, you know, three films for Twilight, New Moon, and Eclipse already. And so it was already a well-oiled machine, and you're introducing, you know, over 20 new vampires into the mix. I just didn't know how it was going to be. So at the beginning, you know, I kept my distance a little bit, and I spent a lot of time bonding with the newer vampires. But as soon as I really met the Cullens for the first time, I mean, they were so welcoming. You know, they were so comfortable within it. And I think they were aware that, you know, some of us were nervous coming in, and they went out of their way to really make it feel like family. And by the end of it, we had all bonded, and there's an accelerated bonding that happens when you're on set with each other, and it really happened.
Yeah, so I think that's a consistent comment that we've heard from a lot of the actors that we've talked about from the Twilight franchise, right?
Absolutely.
From Maggie Grace and all these different
actors. All say this pretty much very welcoming.
Well, Guri says something a little bit different. Let's see what Guri has to say about the cast.
Well, this is Guri. For me, it was torture. To be, you know, next to three beautiful people was absolutely torturous every day. Playing a character that everybody thinks is creepy and dressing like a creep, and then you set, you know, step on stage and Rob, Kristen, and Taylor are like, wow, you do look creepy. And it's like, wow, thank you, because you don't. You look so pretty. But beyond that, you know, the main cast were all really nice to everybody. I mean, it's something to be said about a group of people that have had such high success in such a big movie to be so open to the new cast and to welcome us with open arms. And to me, it was a shock, and they taught me something, you know, about success and about, you know, people dealing with it really well. And my hat's off to them, and I really appreciate how nice they were for us.
So it circles back around to the same comment, but, you know,
kind of
fun that he acknowledges that
there's
some difficulty there, right?
Yeah, that was very cool, but he came back and he seemed to like it, though.
Yeah, I can't imagine standing next to Taylor Lautner, you know.
Or Bella.
I could imagine standing next to her. I might have to hold her up, but...
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to Guri one more time. You know, because we asked Dave Franco a few weeks ago. Remember about Warm Bodies? He was in Fright Night, and he had to wear those contacts, and he said that was terrible.
Oh
right?
Yeah,
because he played a vampire in Fright Night, and he says that he was getting all this junk in his eyes, and he got a crunchy blink going on. So I kind of like told that story to both Guri and Eric, and I asked Guri. I said, was that the same experience for you? And here's what he said.
When I heard Rob in interviews talking about how bad they were, I was like, man, what a wuss. Really? I mean, come on. And then I put him on, and I was like, oh, wow, he wasn't kidding. And with the problem with the contact lenses is that you really can't see really well with them. And first of all, they're uncomfortable. So you have, like, tunnel vision. And not only that, but when we were filming the battle scene, we were filming it indoors with fake snow. So what would happen is that the contact lenses would dry so badly that they would actually stick to your eyeballs.
Oh.
And so for me, three times they stuck to the eyeballs. It literally took them 20 minutes to try to take him off. And so those contact lenses I will not miss whatsoever. That's really my experience. Well, you know, with the white makeup, they put it in your ears and your nose. I mean, it's so uncomfortable. But the makeup was less than the contact lenses. Those contact lenses, I mean, God bless the people who made them, but I don't want to wear them again, that's for sure.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting what actors and actresses will go through for their profession. And you got to give a shout-out to them.
Oh,
because
yeah.
They're professionals. That's what a professional does.
Absolutely.
It sounds uncomfortable. Greg, would you do that?
I wear normal contacts, so obviously they're made to be more comfortable. But I will admit, even with these, and you'll see me sometimes moving my eyes around all weird, if I forget to bring my drops, especially when springtime comes like this, they can get pretty dry.
Oh, yeah.
And so I can't imagine with those type of contacts, you know, that's tough. And then we look at Taylor Lautner, how between the first and second one, how I think he had less than 3 months to gain like 25 pounds of muscle or something. Who knows how he really did it, but still the fact that he did, you know, he did it somehow. I mean, that's tough. And, you know,
and I'll say about the contacts, you know, cause I'm wearing glasses right now but I do have contacts as well. But I try not to wear them because I like to eat jalapenos.
Okay.
Oh. So I eat jalapenos and you can wash your hands all day long, and that jalapeno still won't get off your fingers.
Absolutely.
When it comes time to get those contacts out of your eyes, ouch.
Oh,
so I imagine that.
So how long it takes? A couple days, you think? Or
to get jalapeno off your hands? It takes a couple days, because it really gets in there. It's and I like jalapenos. You know, go to Filberto's and their little jalapeno
really
bar.
They're really hot, though, right?
Yeah. You can't tolerate hot food?
Not that hot. I one time someone made me like really hot peppers.
Yeah.
And they didn't know it was, and I bit in the one and it's like my mouth was on fire.
Yeah.
And then so I took it out.
And then
with
it's on
my
your lips.
Hands, and then I accidentally rubbed my eyes. I was just like my head was on fire.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
No, it was really hot peppers. I don't like that. That's too hot. Who does that?
I know a guy in New River. He enters the jalapeno eating contests.
Ooh, that's really hard.
His name is Cousin Juan. So
wow.
He likes him some jalapenos.
Does he? So Juan.
Yeah, Juan, and he is number one in the contest. finally, our last little clip here. I asked Eric the same question. Let's see if he had any a different experience with the contacts.
I didn't have too much of a problem with them. You know, they had so many people on set that were specifically set aside, you know, contact lens technicians, and they had, you know, five different people at any time who were running around the field with eye drops, you know, with re-wetting drops that would just kind of tag us, and we'd be all good. So I know a lot of people had trouble. There was one day on set where I think the wrong solution was used for them, and so everybody's eyes were kind of burning, and I was one of the few people that it didn't happen to. So, I mean, for me, it was pretty easy. That's I'm getting dirty looks from Gurry as I say that, but yeah, no.
Yeah, so, yeah, different experiences, right? But, you know,
wow.
So be it. But, again, they were a lot of fun to talk to. I really appreciate the opportunity. They were great guys. Next time they're in town, I'm going to definitely make it a point to meet them. And if you don't have Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2 yet on Blu-ray or DVD, it's available.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a great interview you did.
Thank you very much.
You are talented.
Absolutely.
Thank you. You are, too.
No, Joseph Erdo.
Iardo.
Oh, there we go.
I had a question for Joseph,
sure.
If he knows, because it was a couple days ago where I saw this and I haven't followed up on it, is that in the Justice League movie that potentially Christian Bell will end up playing Batman again. I heard something like
that. That is definitely a possibility now. Yeah. At one point, it wasn't a possibility at all, but from what I have read, they would like Christopher Nolan to basically be the Kevin Feige of, you know, Kevin Feige is the guy who runs the Marvel movies.
Oh, okay.
So the Avengers and all that
they
stuff.
Want they want him to take it from
there. Yeah, you know, so not necessarily be the director, but be the guy who, you know, he's the go-to guy. He's the one who makes all the decisions. Mm-hmm. And they want the director to be, for Justice League, they want him to be Oh gosh, the one who's directing Superman right now. Mr. 300. And
oh, yeah, Clark Kent.
I can't think of his name, but yeah.
Candy Clark.
Watchmen, and I can't remember his name. But,
oh, yeah,
but yeah.
Watchmen. I love putting those Watchmen earphones on when I drive.
Random
enlightenment.
Interesting.
But, yeah, so that's definitely a possibility now. I really kind of wish that they would go with Joseph Gordon-Levitt instead as Batman. But
oh, yeah.
No spoilers.
Yes.
No, I like Val Kilmer as Batman.
Or George Clooney, Leatherhead,
yes.
Right?
Oh, man.
Or right? Leatherface?
That was tough.
Yeah, remember that?
That was tough.
So I won 3-1, so those are interviews. Oh, okay, yeah. So Snitch.
Yeah, Snitch. Let's talk about I loved it, right? Remember what I gave it?
You gave a five zines.
Five zines, best movie of the year so far.
All right, anyone want to guess what I gave it? Or should I describe it first?
I'm going to guess that you gave it five. I'm going to go out of limb here.
I'm going to say four. I think you liked it, but not quite as much as Joseph Fajardo.
All right, so I broke it down this way, the movie critic and talent that I am.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't won an Academy Award yet, but the message was very interesting to me. I do agree with that. It seems highly unfair, and you know, within the movie, of course, Susan Sarandon, sort of that politician type, sort of self-interest, not caring too much about what happens to people, and it sort of, right, didn't she sort of portray that a little bit? And I mean, great acting, no question.
Yeah, probably like realistic, too.
Yeah, probably realistic. And so that was a little bothersome, but that is what's out there in the world. But it was certainly Dwayne Johnson did not play like Dwayne Johnson, you know. But so I thought he did pretty good from that perspective, not that sort of real tough guy, but certainly internal toughness to do what he did.
Yeah.
So I thought it was it picked up the second half for sure.
Action,
I thought the first action. I mean, overall it just picked up and I thought it's a four zines. Content was good because I do think there's unfairness in the legal system and most people agree with that. So I like that, but I think they could have done something a little bit more dramatic, maybe a little bit more focus on the young kid, what he was going through in prison.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see the results of that, but you couldn't see the nightmare of that. And I think it could have stirred up more emotion. I think that would have added to it, and maybe tweaking it a little bit. But certainly a good message.
Well, and I think the reason that he didn't show the inside of the prison and focus on the kid is because his last movie was Felon, and it was all about inside of prison.
Oh, is that
I understand
right?
what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I kind of agree. I wish that some of the things that happened to the kid that we don't see but we hear about,
right.
I wish that those didn't happen because it was just it was already tugging at your heart enough. Sure. You didn't need that, especially if you don't see it.
Yeah.
But I think that is why he made those choices. He already made that movie, and he didn't want to make that movie again.
That makes sense.
But, you know, it's not saying I'm
but
not
it's worth,
to
But it's definitely
it.
Worth seeing because the message is loud and clear, and it's very there's many messages. I mean, the cartel, all the stuff that's happening. And
didn't it make you mad at the federal government, though?
Yeah.
Now, here's
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, even though this is based on a true story, we were talking about documentaries earlier. Has there been a documentary about something like this?
This was based on a true story that the director, Rick Romanois, saw on Frontline. So not a documentary per se. I wish that they would make a documentary of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's been touched on.
It's a very dangerous documentary.
Right,
absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Very dangerous.
So it's tough to get
names.
It's tough to get inside the prisons as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that might be causing problems.
It was, but yeah, I'd say four zines, definitely worth going to see it. Now, Bless Me, Ultima.
Yeah, I didn't see this. Full disclosure, they invited me to it, two different screenings. I chose not to see it. I saw previews, and I said, you know what? I am not going out of my way to see this.
Altima or?
I saw it. It got a lot of good reviews.
I'm going to say one zine.
I'm
going to guess one zine
what
for
do you.
You
say?
Let me look up what the movie is real quick, because I actually never heard of it.
I'll keep talking then.
I'm thinking you want to tell us a little bit about what it was from your...
So from my perspective, it was... the scenery was good, but it was about this... I think it was in Mexico, actually. Sort of a older lady is in the 1940s, and she was sort of like... You know, you hear, like, Indian tribes, they have a medicine person, and she was sort of the spiritual... person that had great awareness, you know, she portrayed that, it didn't seem so much mainstream spiritual as it was sort of, you know, in the old days, it focused too much on, well, there were some, like, witches and stuff, and it just seemed very out of date with mainstream spiritual.
Is it a religious type movie? Or
I think they were trying to make it that way, mm-hmm. and you know, the message perhaps is, I mean, they did try to make it that way, but out of the mainstream, and so I think it was hard to relate a lot of the stuff, like a medicine person that I said, I'm not sure if that's true. I mean, I like some of the concepts, you know, they had about, you know, Mother Earth and, you know, some good wholesome stuff. But I couldn't quite relate to some of the evil stuff. You know, I go, mm-hmm. that doesn't seem to make sense. And
you want to guess?
Unless it was an analogy of some sort, but they sort of lost me a little bit from that standpoint. I'm a little more mainstream.
I think you're right about one, but I don't want to take it, so I'm just going to say two. I can tell you didn't like it, and from looking at it, it looks not like the type of movie we would like.
I'm going to say you're both right. I'm going to give it 1.5 because I kept saying, well, there's going to be more here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it wasn't, like, horribly done. It was just the message could have been more easily understood, I think, and it wasn't.
Well, I try to see as many movies as I possibly can, especially when they give us the opportunities to do so. But, you know, something about that movie just didn't feel...
Yeah.
It didn't feel like it was worth my time, even.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it seemed like high reviews, and so... But I think it was just the wrong time, not a very solid message. Message was there, but the lesson, I couldn't quite find a real strong lesson... I knew what they were trying to do for the lesson,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't like, oh, wow, I didn't think of it that way. It's like, they're really portraying it that way. You know, I mean, some guy had this, like, a curse, and I mean, I don't quite believe in all that stuff, you know, that, like, oh, you're cursed. And, you know, and she came by, and something came out of his like, mouth or something, is some ugly thing, and she goes, oh, he's cured now. But so they're mixing spiritual concepts with... With,
evil.
Like, weird stuff that I don't think really exists. And I go, I don't quite relate to that.
Well, I'm glad that you went and saw Snitch then, and that, you know, you took my recommendation.
I liked it. And yeah, so I wouldn't recommend Bless Me Ultima.
No, well, go see Jack the Giant Slayer and or Place at the Table.
Oh, definitely going to catch those two, no question.
21 and over.
Yes. Maybe not that one. That's not a recommendation.
And not Last Exorcist.
No, those are two zines. All right, so anyway, Joseph, we'll see you next week. And, Greg, when I see you? Tomorrow. And everyone, stay tuned for another exciting episode of the magazine coming right up at 3 o'clock. Have a great night. Go Coyotes. Jobbing.com Arena. Tonight, St. Louis. Bye-bye.